Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has been declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out two weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Two weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit, get out of debt, and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this Saturday, the week before Thanksgiving, it will be November 20th, 2010. We are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in overcast and not so sunny Scottsdale, Arizona today. Yes, but I can already smell the deep fryer. Does anybody deep fry their turkeys? I never had until a couple of years ago. Now my whole family's hooked. I used to do the 24-hour turkey, which was always my big hit and my ace in the hole when it would come to any kind of turkey smackdown competitions. But, yeah. The deep fryer kind of rocks. It cuts your time. It's fairly low maintenance. I mean, you just go out there and you just keep checking it and sticking the thermometer in there. And, God, it comes out so tasty. And it's super juicy. And the key to juicy turkey is to let it rest after you cook it. So many people pull it out of the oven and then just start slicing and dicing. And that's when it loses all of its moisture. But if you let it rest, all of that moisture that bubbled out underneath the skin, as long as the skin stays untouched, will suck back into the muscle tissue. If you just let it rest for like 15 minutes, it still stays hot. Don't worry about that. That bird's been in there a while. It will still be hot. But that will help you keep it juicy. That's just my one little, that's a bonus tip today, not included in the price of today's broadcast. That's just free for you. Let your turkey rest. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. I am so excited about today's show. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program. I am Heather Wagenhall, your money mentor, and this Saturday and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help you manage your finances and attitudes for achieving financial wellness today and financial independence for you and your family for your future. And we do that simply by teaching us how to get out of our own way. I know that that sounds kind of like, what? But most of us are in our own way. And we're going to learn about that today in our keys section about one of the ways that we self-sabotage. And justification is such a wonderful tool when we want to make our bad behavior okay. Bottom line. So we're going to talk about that in today's key. We are just clipping through the season. Our eighth key in the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series is no seasonal exceptions, and it is the most apropos key for this week. Why? Because Black Friday will be upon us in days, and this is precisely why this key works out. It's amazing. Because I didn't quite plan it that way, but it just kind of, it's right there, right when you need it most. and no seasonal exceptions is this week's key. And we've come so far. For those of you who have been with us since the beginning of the season, bravo. You have done an absolute wonderful job getting to this point, and I want to make sure that you stay here. And by doing that, I am going to give you this super important key. I haven't given you the good stuff. But for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we have come so far in a short period of time, just making a paradigm shift, accepting responsibility for our own financial future, not blaming others, the economy, my job, my boss, my spouse, my family, whatever. We've taken the onus of obligation upon ourselves, and we've chose to respond in a more appropriate way than we have been with our money. And we have made our goals. We've figured out what we know about money and what we want to delegate. We've taken responsibility. We know that we need to dissociate our emotions when it comes to spending money, but be passionate about earning it. And we also learned how to break our budget. Finally, once and for all, no more budgeting, just like no more dieting. And we've created a healthy savings and spending plan. And that's why this week's key is so important to follow up that healthy savings and spending plan, because Black Friday is precisely the reason why we need that, because everything can go kaflooey in a second if we let it. If we allow justification to wander its ugly little head and poke his nose into our business right when we just finally got some momentum, right when we got ourselves on track, then here comes justification for bad behavior. Him and his buddy, justification and bad behavior. They like to hang out together. And they're trying to put their nose into your business. And now you're most vulnerable because you just set up that healthy savings and spending plan. So in the second hour, we're going to talk all about what it is that we need to be doing to get ourselves on track and not make seasonal exceptions. We're going to take and thumb our noses at justification. We're going to learn how to do that today because we're going to understand giving in a totally different light in the second hour. We have so much coming up on today's show. We've got some great Minutes on Your Money article. How about credit cards? How about our Millionaire Minute on millionaires and opportunities? We've got that coming up. We also have an incredible guest, I'm excited to say, for our Investor's Edge segment. Michael Malgeri is joining us today a little bit later here in the broadcast, and he's going to help us teach our kids about money. And he's going to do it in a very interesting way because profit is not a four-letter word. In case all of you didn't know that, profit is not a four-letter word. And so we're going to learn how to teach our children to be capitalistic, how to have that entrepreneurial spirit, and pretty much how to wipe out economic child abuse according to Michael's definition. So that's coming up in the next segment. But first, thank you so much for joining us, and let's talk for one moment about our trivia question. We talked about Thanksgiving and gratitude. And this week's trivia question every trivia question is always based on a previous show, and our Minutes on Your Money this week was all about giving thanks for what you have. And we talked about, in addition to great money-saving tips, you can name one of those money-saving tips for Thanksgiving, or you can talk about one of the gratitudes that we spoke of, one of the techniques about grace and gratitude that we spoke of on Wednesday's show. For those of you who aren't familiar with that, we broadcast three times a week. We have a Millionaire Motivation segment on Tuesday mornings called Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. We have our midweek update, which is 30 minutes of news you can use. And we do that on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's always a topic-driven show. And we usually pull our trivia questions from there because it's always rich with opportunity. So if you're a routine listener, that will give you the edge on the trivia question. However, if you're a sporadic listener but still want to win fabulous prizes, here's how you do it. You subscribe to our electronic magazine. Now, you can listen from Blog Talk Radio or you can listen from our show page at www.unlockyourwealth.com. That's where you can sign up for the electronic magazine. Each and every week, we deliver over 500,000 listeners a fabulous electronic magazine that has news, tips, tricks, and information proximal to your life and creating financial wellness today and getting on that path to financial independence for you and your family's future. And it also has our trivia questions in there. It has our quotes of the week, our affirmations. And you can receive the trivia question before everyone else does to give you an edge on winning. Some of the fabulous prizes you can win are financial coaching. That's a $300 value for financial coaching. Credit report review up to $150 value. You can win autographed books from our previous show guests. We have two for today because they're kids' books and they're small. So I said, well, we'll just give both of those away from our show guests. You can receive one of my autographed books if you so desire, as well as a six-month premium membership to our unlockyourwealth.com website. If the key membership has gotten you as far as you think it can go and you want to go to the next level, answer the trivia question and you can have a premium membership for 6 months for free, and that's $180 value. So we have so many great things that you can win. And all it's going to cost you is a little thought, a little review of a previous episode if you hadn't listened to it, and some effort on your part to contact us one of three ways. And you can win one of three ways. You can call in to win at 1-718-508-9002. 1-718-508-9002. And the lovely Kristen Hun would be thrilled to take your potential right answer. You can also chat into it if you are listening from our Blog Talk Radio show page. That's blogtalkradio.com/unlockyourwealth. Join the chat room and say hello to our chat room moderator. Kristen is sitting in there, eager to take your potential right answers for the trivia question. Or you can email us at trivia@uywradio.com. Wasn't that nice of me to shorten that email address? trivia@uywradio.com. If you think you have the right answer, please take a moment to contact us one of those three ways. And again, you can either name one of the holiday savings tips we talked about on the radio show or one of the gratitude techniques that we spoke of from Wednesday's show. We've got so much more in store coming up on today's show. I can't wait to get started. So what we need to do right now is take a word, a listen, from our sponsors, a word, if you will, and then we will be right back with Michael Margiri. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-888-8888. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Remind me, everyone, won't you, to tell you about our Millionaire Makeover contest in the next hour for Season 8. I can't believe we're coming upon Season 8. Amazing. I just don't know what to do. It's so crazy. I do know what to do, and that is move on to our Investor's Edge guest. Our next guest, our first guest of today's show, I suppose, is creator of the Johnny Profit series of children's books, which he calls Bedtime Stories About Capitalism. This particular series has been endorsed by Steve Forbes, Larry Kudlow, and the Heartland Institute. Michael Malgiri is on a mission to teach kids that honest profit-making is good and to help wipe out economic child abuse. Michael lives with his wife and two young children in Southern California and has written about their antics each week for the last 7 years in his blog titled On Dad's Watch, Family Life from a Dad's Perspective, which we know there's always tons of mommy bloggers out there. So how great that there's a daddy blogger, too. Michael, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Heather. How are you today?
I'm unbelievable. Thanks for asking.
Good.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because with all of the children's authors out there, they have so much power. I mean, there's those of us who write money management stuff for adults all day long, trying to undo what was done in those children's books. And it's so refreshing to see somebody take such an interesting perspective when it comes to children's books and talking about money in the way that it should. What made you decide to write these books?
You know, Heather, I was browsing the children's book section one day, and I said, these kids are just dying for a story about the U.S. monetary system. You know? No, seriously, though. When I was growing up, I just had this vibe that big business and corporations were bad and that profit-making was evil. I mean, that's just an opinion, but that's the vibe I got. But as I got older, I observed all the wonderful things we get from honest business and hardworking individuals, and I thought something's just not right here. So I took an interest in economics. I started learning about how things came into being. I'm talking about the wonderful things that are around us. And I just came to the conclusion that the wrong message was being communicated about economics and business in schools. And I think the consequences are dire. I think a lot of what we're seeing today is because of that message. So I wanted to make a small contribution by telling stories to kids about business.
What value does it have for our future to make sure that we're sharing and teaching our kids now that profit making is good?
Yeah, it's very important because I think the world is so mired in guilt over making money and producing wealth that despite all the great achievements we've accomplished, at best we view profit making as a necessary evil. I mean humans were designed to produce, to reach the stars. It's what they were intended. It's what was intended by God or nature or whatever your spirituality is. Yet people that make a profit often find themselves ridiculed for doing something that they should be praised for. And remember, I'm talking about honest profit making where both parties walk away happy with their exchange. I mean, I think that's a pretty virtuous event. It moves the world forward. And I want to give kids intellectual ammunition so that when they hear words like greed and profiteering, they could evaluate the situation and say, you know, what are you talking about? I just sent a text message to my buddy in Bolivia for 2 cents. And if the phone company is going to make some money off of that, then that's fantastic. They did a good thing. So that's why I think it's so important that the attitude has changed. And not having this mindset is killing us because these kids are being indoctrinated towards socialism, and I think that's wrong.
Well, I know that's wrong.
Yeah. I guess you can see I'm a little
passionate
about this.
Have economic background. that doesn't help our listeners. You talk about economic child abuse.
Yeah.
And how do you make economic child abuse a topic that's open for discussion, because it sounds kind of funny? And I guess here's a twofold thing. And at the same time of eradicating economic child abuse, how do we make the topic of capitalism interesting to kids who are probably playing, you know, the new Call of Duty?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kids are going to be distracted by lots of things these days, and I think that's a good thing because it's stimulating. But if somebody can tell a good story and keep it simple, you can make a point with kids. I do it through fiction, and ultimately the kids are going to be the judge of whether my stories are good or not. But I try to keep it simple. I try to give them some basic concepts. And again, the fiction part of it is important because they play schoolyard games, they play video games, they watch cartoons, and they're spending their entire day in a fantasy world in many cases. So the bedtime story is a great opportunity to continue their day and give them an opportunity to consider something like capitalism if you can tell it in a story form. Like I said, I teach the basics. I've got things like an evil wizard, you know, in a poor society that's trying to dig their way out of devastation. But again, the concepts are wrapped there in that story, and hopefully they can retain it and talk about it. So that's the method that I use. And again, it's the kids that will have to be the judge and the parents if they choose to let their kids read these things.
I like your character, Johnny Profit. What are the themes of Johnny Profit and Johnny's Gold?
Yeah. Well, Johnny Profit, it's very simple. These books focus on the morality of capitalism. Okay, you know, humans, they want to do things, they want to be good. They want to do things, and they want to be supported by immorality. So the theme of Johnny Profit is honest profit making is good. and it demonstrates morality through a story about ingenuity and mutually beneficial exchange. The society is, in this particular story, is on the verge of extinction because they work so much. And Johnny comes in, and he invents something very simple. Essentially, he invents the shovel, and he gives them back half their day to either enjoy themselves or to create things that advanced society, but he extracts a profit from it. So that's a mutually beneficial exchange. And through the story, I hope to clearly demonstrate to the kids that this is a moral event. This is something where Johnny gained, the people gained tremendously, and society moved forward. Something similar happens in Johnny's Gold, because we talk about money, and rather than being a source of evil, money is a source of much goodness. It's literally a story about how the gold system works as money and how it gives power to the people and takes it away from oppressive governments. In this case, I have an evil wizard that's oppressing the people. You know, and that's kind of the situation we have today. I don't know if many people realize the money supply is controlled by the government today. We don't have a gold standard, and I think people will consider moving back to that. We might get a lot more things done, and a lot more power will go back to the people. So I try to encapsulate that in a simple bedtime story.
Yeah, well, that's a, you know, how do we move back to a gold standard when we got so much bogus cash just floating out there?
Exactly. Well, see, I think if people are aware of the morality of this, then they'll stand up and fight for their freedoms when these laws go into play. You know, I don't know what the general feeling is on your end about Obamacare and the health, and not to divert the situation, but that's an example of the government taking over, and it should go back to the free enterprise system. And people, as they've spoken out against it. But if they believe in their right to create wealth, their freedoms, and the fact that these are good things, again, that's the key. People need to believe that creating wealth is good, that we were designed to create wealth and to produce wealth. And then they'll be fortified. They have a foundation, and they won't succumb to all these schemes that pretend to do good, but in the end don't. And you see plenty of examples out there, whether it's Social Security or Medicaid, Medicare. I mean, these have unfunded liabilities of trillions and trillions of dollars. And while the intention is good, it wasn't the right way to do this. The free market could have provided health care, retirement benefits, much better than what's going on today. Today we're headed for disaster because people they want to be good, but they need to stand up for the way to do it.
Well, and I think that that's a scary proposition for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
That they're probably afraid that they'll be the only one standing.
Well, I think things can change around. We've seen some changes. Businessmen need to deal with the future. And they need confidence that things are going to be stable, that there's going to be freedoms. And now there's just so much uncertainty. That's why we're having a problem where things aren't picking up again. We've been through a depression many, many years ago, and what brought us back was some certainty came back into the economic system, and people believe that their freedoms are going to be protected and that they could innovate and produce. And they have to be encouraged to do that. Today, they're not being encouraged. We don't know what's going to happen today.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that part of what shakes America's confidence in their own abilities is the fact that the teachers have their own retirement systems. Postal workers have their own gig, and our lawmakers have their own deal, too. And they don't have to deal with Obamacare or the regular retirement system known as Social Security. So it's very, very interesting, depending on where you fall in that spectrum, if you've been a part of the postal workers or teachers, you probably feel differently about things. And, you know, it's a scary proposition when you don't understand the government or what we've done to it to make it to where almost we feel like we have to surrender. It's telling us that we're not good enough to make decisions on our own, and we're listening to that, and we're going, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I like to talk about things I call the 800-pound gorillas. You know, there are numerous examples where it just doesn't work when the government steps in. I mean, you look at all the failed socialist governments between communist China and Russia and all the others. Hundreds of million, over 100 million people were killed directly through the government or through starvation. And yet on the flip side, you've got all these successful examples of capitalism. I mean, going back to the auto industry where Henry Ford made it possible for the average person to afford a car for a couple hundred bucks, and the computer that was once millions of dollars is now $500 or even less, so you can get a computer on eBay. These are examples of capitalism, and the garden variety of supermarket where you have like 50,000 items at your disposal. This is not because of government intervention. This is because of human innovation in production and logistics and in listening to what the people want that makes all this possible. Everything the government does increases prices. Everything generally what capitalism does decreases prices. And yet, getting back to the stories, the kids are not told this version of how economics works. Most of them, and again, this is opinion based on what I hear and some of what I read, most of them come out leaning left, leaning towards socialism. I mean, you look at the presidential vote 2 years ago, the left won because of the youth vote. And I think we need equal time there, or people that believe more in capitalist and free market principles need equal time, and we need to start at a very early age. My contribution is starting, you know, at the 8-year-olds and above, and even parents, if they care to read my books, just give the basics. And then they'll have the intellectual ammunition to say, hey, is that right, what I learned in school? I mean, are these businesses really bad? You know, I'm listening to my whole music catalog here, and a little thing on my fits in my hand called an iPod. That seems like a pretty good deal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many other countless examples of that. And yet try to fight the IRS or try to, you know, have a discrepancy with the post office or something like that. Not that the post office, there's a lot of good people that work there. But it's just a method of bringing these services to people that I'm in disagreement with, and I think a lot of people are.
Okay, well, hold that thought because
I will.
we need to hear a real quick word from our sponsors. And we will be right back with more. Michael Malgary, you are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And we've got so much more to talk about Johnny Profit coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
There is a massive tax storm coming next year. Dozens of new taxes, rules, regulations, fees, and penalties are arriving. Even the storefront tax preparers are being monitored by the IRS. What can you do? Go directly to www.cohesivetax.com and sign up now for a free strategic tax plan, and you can survive the tax hurricane. That's www.cohesivetax.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Vilwalk. I'm the founder of Job Doctors International. We just released today our new book, Jobpreneurship 101, which is how to get a job when there are none. If you or someone you know needs a job, check out jobdoctorsinternational.com or call 888-420-6861. That's jobdoctorsinternational.com. When you need a job, we can help.
This is John Nowicki with LCM Capital Management, where we are changing the way the world invests. What we do is create financial plans tailored to each individual's risk parameters and retirement goals while eliminating all the additional costs and hidden fees that are associated with money management. You can contact me, John Nowicki, at LCM Capital Management at 312-705-3013 and look forward to a happy, healthy retirement with low costs and low fees.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Michael Malgiri on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And before the break, we were talking about Johnny Profit, 800-pound gorillas, our children being sucked into socialism. You made a comment before, Michael, about capitalism, and you said it puts the people in control. What do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, that's an important point, Heather. There's not a corporation on the planet that can force me to do business with it. Essentially, what I'm saying is there's always a choice out there. So, in contrary to what you get from the government, you've always got to do business with the government if it's a service. But for the people, let's look at somebody like Microsoft, right? If the people decided to switch over to Apple within 3 months, that's a quarter, a fiscal quarter, they can send a message to Microsoft, impact their bottom line, and I'm not saying put them out of business, but you know, if it continued, they would go out of business. So the point is, there's always a way for people to either fulfill their needs through some other mechanism and send a message to these corporations that are supposedly oppressing us. The other thing too is you could see the way corporations behave. I mean, when I go to a supermarket and I put in my loyalty card, you know, within a couple of days I get so many messages, come back. They're just begging you to come back. So in reality, the people are in control. And that's what capitalism is all about. Corporations listen to people. They're there to serve people. And the people are in control.
I have a loaded question for you along those lines of what you're
okay.
talking about, the government versus, you know, the capitalism and business. And just as they're begging you to come back and providing quality customer service, what happens, or I guess I should say, what is the value of allowing a business to fail? And here's the loaded part of this, because should our automakers been allowed to borrow all of that money from the government when a private lender wouldn't loan them the money and keep their business afloat, because they've become their own government, you know,
right.
I mean, with the unions and all of the stuff and all the garbage that goes along with some of these larger companies? I mean, do you believe in too big to fail?
No, I think I'm of the mind that businesses should fail if they did not, you know, they're not profitable and they did not do what they set out to do. I do not believe in too big to fail. I think what would happen is the value of those assets would go down to a point where someone would take them over and be able to make them profitable. Right now, banks especially are in that category where, you know, they're not pursuing the right policies. They're in bed with government, and they know that if push comes to shove, they're going to get bailed out. And that's happened multiple times, not only in the United States, but it's happening worldwide. That's why we need to move to a more competitive monetary solution, and gold is a likely way to do that.
Now we're back on gold and the gold standard. You have said inflation is the big wolf in sheep's clothing, and why do you say that?
Yeah, so this is a situation where inflation is a general rise in prices, okay? And what happens is business actually do on their books make a fairly large profit. So right away, consumer advocates, government, they come out and they say you're being gouged by the corporation, right? But in reality, what actually happens is when these companies make large profits, their taxes go up. And the lion's share of that money goes to the government in the form of taxes. And then you have to remember that the business now has to continue to do business. All the goods that they buy, let's say they're a manufacturer, they've got to buy parts and they've got labor. All their costs go up. So their profits, even though on the books for the prior year showed to be large, in actuality they made a lot less because of the larger tax burden and the larger cost of doing business. So when I talk about the wolf in sheep's clothing, the government causes the problem because they've expanded the money supply. That's what inflation is. And yet they get to blame the businesses for being the bad guys. And in the end, the people get screwed because they're being subverted or misled by this disingenuous interpretation of what's going on. That's the wolf in sheep's clothing.
It was never more prevalent than when my husband and I were on our honeymoon in 2008 and we were traveling in foreign countries. We were just getting spanked on some of those exchange rates. And we're like, really? Really? This is it? And, you know, it's so funny. As you know, I can think of, as I'm listening to you explain this to people, the oil industry has been vilified for any number of reasons. Just pick one and we can talk all day on it.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
What people don't realize is they say, ooh, those nasty oil people, they're making so much money. There are more taxes on a gallon of gas than there is profit in each gallon of gas.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Anybody could go to finance.yahoo.com, look up an oil company, and you'll get their profit margin. It's generally on the order of around 10%, maybe even less. I haven't looked at it lately. But, you know, Heather, here's the one thing I want to talk about the oil companies. When you think about it, a gallon of gas, which today is at its high, it's $3, right?
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to put, let's say you're a family of four, put a family of four in your car, take them to grandma's or to the store, which could be 25 miles away, all right? And you're sitting in a nice vehicle, listening to music, very safe. I mean, think about what the oil company just gave you. They gave you enough energy for $3 to do that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas years ago, I mean, it took 3 months to cross the ocean and people died. And then if you look at where the oil company gets this energy. Think about going 5 miles down, well, I don't know, it's 5 miles, a mile down into the ocean and exploring for this oil and pulling it out and refining it. It's not only the danger, but the risk that you're not going to even get the money back. It's just an incredible thing that I would like our school systems to teach our kids more about how these come into being. How does a gallon of gas get to your car? And I think if kids saw what happened, they would not succumb to a protest of the oil companies when they're asked to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an incredible thing that our corporations do.
And gas here in the U.S. is so much cheaper than it is worldwide.
Yeah, and it could be even cheaper if we were allowed to drill in the places where we can.
Uncle Sam
debate
off of our back. He's the one that's gouging us.
Who's
not
that?
The profits here. Uncle Sam.
Oh,
Uncle Sam,
yeah.
State Sam, Uni Sam. There's
yeah,
too many Sams.
Yeah.
Making money.
Yeah.
We got too many Sams in the mix.
Yeah. So, you know, that's... I think if our youth and maybe even some of our adults had a better understanding of that, they would get out there and defend some of these corporations and let the there are bad policies that some corporations do, but typically it's when they try to get in bed with the government. If you take the government out of the economy, then the businesses will have to compete amongst themselves. I'm in the high tech area, the computer area, and you could see how large computer companies have to compete with small computer companies, and you know, sometimes the small ones win, and the large ones win most of the time. But the end result is they're competing amongst themselves, and the consumer is the one that benefits from lower prices, better quality goods. And the examples out there are just plain as day. And yet in the schools, the kids are not taught that. And you know, my small contribution is to get them to think along those lines and to consider to put business to the fire, make them be honest, but not turn to the government to solve everything, because good intentions are not it's not turning out very well for us.
I am an Ayn Rand aficionado, and I've made no bones about that on my show. We kicked off this season, as a matter of fact, with Nathaniel Brandon, which was the highlight of my life.
yeah.
To speak with the man who so heavily impacted my choices and decisions. And are you an Ayn Rand fan?
Yeah, yes, very much. I discovered Ayn Rand when I was a late teen, early 20s, I think. And it actually led me to an economist called George Reisman, who's here in Southern California, who's a very prime advocate of capitalism. So that's where I get a lot of my education on capitalism about. But yes, Ayn Rand, very much so. I'm very much into her philosophy and very amazing thinker. And I'm glad to see that she's still very popular and even getting a resurgence in today's world.
Oh, absolutely. She was an incredible thinker. And for my final question for you, because our time is drawing to a close, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You always hear these clever questions when we get tied in moral times of what would Jesus do. So along the Ayn Rand theme, what would Atlas do now?
Well, you know, I'm hoping he doesn't quit, as was the ending of the book in Atlas Shrugged. I'm an optimistic person. I still think there's chances for us to pull it out, and you see that in the most recent elections. But here's the key, and Ayn Rand was very much probably the originator of defending capitalism and giving capitalism a moral foundation. I'm trying to help in that matter by bringing it down to the children's level. But Atlas needs to, if we were going to talk to parents and educators, we need to change the message about money and pride. Money, it's been said that money is the root of all evil, and lots of people say, well, they mean the love of money, but, you know, what's left in the mind of a child is that money is the root of all evil. I know what they mean. They mean that pursuing
dishonest...
Francisco
says money is the root of all good.
Yeah. What we want to tell children is that, you know, honest money is good. If you earn money dishonestly, then it's bad. It's kind of like warning them about fire. You know, you want to warn them that fire can be hot, but then you correct that and you tell them what good fire is, how much goodness you can get out of using fire properly. Same thing with money. Well, what's different about money is we warn them about earning it dishonestly, but then we don't follow it up and tell them how great money can be and how wonderful it is as a tool for human progress. And the same thing with pride. We tell people, kids, pride is a deadly sin, but what we mean is unearned pride, okay? We want that... Pride stems naturally from achieving things honestly, and that's what has to be left with children and even adults. You should be proud in an honest achievement. You should be proud of an honestly earned dollar. And if we do that and we promote freedom and property rights, I think all our problems could be solved. All these social issues, these services, whether it's health care or retirement, it'll come down through the free market. And this is a much better solution than forcing people to be brothers keepers. That's a religious thing between the person and their God. It's a good thing, but it's not something that should be forced on society. It should be voluntary. The most prominent thing that people have to preserve is freedom. Once you have freedom, then the sky's the limit. And I think that's Atlas should be doing all he can to promote the goodness of freedom, honest money, and well-earned, well-deserved pride.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today, and
thank
I'm so
much.
Thrilled that you are taking up the saber and rattling it in the name of children and capitalism. I'm so excited. If folks want to be able to learn more about Johnny Profit and your other books, in addition to winning it as our trivia question today, what? How can people get a hold of your books? Do you have a website that people can visit?
Yes, I do, Heather. It's kidsforbiz.com. So that's K-I-D-S, the number 4, B-I-Z.com. My books can be purchased there. They're very inexpensive. I would love to, you know, get more acquainted with your listeners, and they could even email me. So kidsforbiz.com is the place.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. And for those of you who are driving around and unable to write this down, as always, we have links to our previous show guests at www.unlockyourwealth.com. And it's that time again.
In the future, I can afford it.
Yes.
Tell me.
It's that time again for the Millionaire Minute. This is the segment where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now today. And today's theme is millionaires and opportunities. Millionaires seem to always have opportunity knocking at their door, while the rest seem to wonder why opportunity never seems to knock on their door. Henry J. Kaiser can probably illuminate this idea by saying his famous quote that problems are opportunities dressed in work clothes. Most of us miss opportunity because we're so caught up in the problem itself. We take it personally. We internalize what's going on with us, and not by dissociating our emotions and taking a step back and looking at things objectively. Every problem presents a new opportunity. And the one thing that millionaires know that's separate from the millionaire class or from the middle class is that millionaires know that the more people they help to solve their problems, the sooner their problems, the millionaires' problems, go away. So think about how you can help solve more problems for more people, and that will help line your pockets with gold. Now, fully and completely integrate this idea now. See yourself in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you when you are now seeing problems as opportunities. And imagine yourself with these opportunistic successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality. And that's your Millionaire Minute. Be sure to tune in to our Tuesday show at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for our in-depth look at opportunity on our newly named show as we take our Millionaire Focus Strategy on opportunity to Unlock Your Wealth Radio to go. Again, that's at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time each and every Tuesday morning. Start your day the millionaire way at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Stay tuned for more. We've got the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostest, saying stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches, right after this. Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And what an incredible guest. That was such a wonderful conversation that we had with Michael, and I'm so glad that he, like Sharon Lecter, are taking up sabers and rattling him in children's defense, because that's where it starts. And for those of you who tune in each week and listen to this show because you're so stressed out about money because you're making the wrong mistakes, it's because your value system was set up by someone who didn't believe that money was good. Most of the time, that's what it is. And how do you live in conflict with yourself? Well, you don't. And you say, well, gosh, I want to make money and I want to get ahead. But because you're in a values bind, subconsciously you sabotage yourself. If you have it set up that you were taught when you were young, money's bad, well, guess what? You're going to do everything you can to get rid of it. I know that that's probably, you're shocked to hear that. And it's a little out of context because we're not quite in our keys. But, yeah, you know, and if we can start the message off correctly in the beginning with saying to our children, capitalism is good, profit is good, because, you know, we're just sponges when we're little. And it just, it makes all the sense in the world. So I champion
his efforts, and I'm so excited to have had him on the show. And remember, if you are correctly answering the trivia question, you can win autographed copies of his Johnny Prophet series, and we've got two of those books here just waiting to be given away on this week's trivia question. So if you have the answer, name some holiday turkey savings ideas or talk about some of the strategies, the gratitude strategies or technologies that we discussed on Wednesday's show, those books can be yours. Visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com for more details. And you know what I forgot to mention in the first hour, but I need to tell you now, thanks for reminding me, guys, is that we are having a millionaire makeover contest for 2011. Are you guys excited for Season 8? It's totally awesome. I can't believe that we have this going on. So if you think your money needs some help, and you are desirous of changing your financial ways from financial woes to financial wealth, then this is the contest for you. In addition to an appearance on our radio show, you get financial coaching. You get all kinds of products and services from previous show guests. You also get personal financial coaching from moi. Yes, I will go one-on-one with you. In a personalized setting, you get our teleseminar series that we do, our three-step strategy to building wealth, 5 minutes at a time, our 5 minutes to financial wellness teleseminar. You get all of that. It's hundreds of dollars of value. I don't have the website in front of us. But if you surf over to unlockyourwealth.com and click on the Millionaire Makeover banner, or if you're listening from our show page at blogtalkradio.com/unlockyourwealth and click on the Millionaire Makeover banner, surf over to our site, and you will have all of the details. For some reason, our sign-up sheet wasn't working, but all you got to do is tell us why you should be our next Millionaire Makeover participant. We will announce all of the winners on the first episode, and we will begin financial coaching. And there will be 12 people selected out of everyone. So we're going to have an audience vote, as well as you will be judged by our financial coaches is in how much financial distress are you in and whether or not you can benefit. So make sure that you click over and sign up for that. It'll be pretty exciting to see, and I'm all excited about this contest. I love contests. I love giveaways. I like, free is also not a four-letter word, just like profit. I know that for some reason people seem to think free is a four-letter word, and technically it is, but not in the four-letter word connotation of not good. So how about some minutes on your money, shall we? I want to talk to you about credit, and I'd like to talk to you specifically about the 10 worst credit card mistakes, and maybe you have made one. Mulanami for U.S. News and World Report writes, there are plenty of debates over whether or not you should use credit cards, especially if you're already in debt. If you have credit cards, you want to be sure you are using them to your advantage and avoiding costly mistakes. And here are the 10 biggest credit card mistakes that people make. Using your credit card like a debit card. Your credit card is not your bank debit card. Never put your credit card into an ATM. No, it's not going to damage your credit card, but it will cost you. Often, you can expect a flat fee for getting a cash advance and an astronomical interest rate on top of that for the convenience. And the difference, let me tell you, between ATM cash advances on your credit card or just taking money off of your debit card is that the interest is charged daily. It's a daily rate, and it's astronomical. And unlike a purchase, cash advances start accruing interest that day. They don't have a 30-day grace period like your purchases do, so be wary. Number two, signing up for a card with an annual fee and not sending a reminder in your calendar. This has happened to me before. It's sometimes a good idea to sign up for a new credit card to get a big sign-up bonus or take advantage of a balance transfer offer. However, if you ended up with a card that has an annual fee, You need to set a reminder in your calendar if you don't want to keep the card and you want to avoid the fee. Far too many people pay annual fees on credit cards because they forget to cancel the card. And, you know, you go, you're like, well, instant savings of 10% if you apply today when you're at the cash register. And if you're making a large purchase, you know, it makes sense potentially to do that, but not if your savings is outweighed by the annual fee because you forgot to cancel the card, or you pay the card off and let it linger there, and then that hits, and then you forget to make a payment because you're like, well, I have a zero balance, and you don't think about it. And that's what I've done is, well, I have a zero balance. How did I miss a payment? Because they make that phone call saying, you know, you're past due on your account. You're like, what? How did I get past due? I don't even have a balance. And then you're like, oh, that dagnabbit fee. I forgot about that annual fee. Number three, not properly researching foreign transaction fees. And I got nailed on this one, too. Like every credit card mistake, take heed. You are not alone. I have probably done it and twice before I realized it. That's how I know to tell you. Anyway. Before traveling overseas, you need to take a look at each credit card that you had that you plan on using on your trip, because each one will have their own foreign currency exchange rates and their own rules, and international transaction fees can pile up anywhere from nothing, depending on how good a card you have, to 3%. And if you have several cards in your wallet, you need to find which one has the best exchange rate and the highest balance that you can take with you. And also, just a little added bonus, not included in the price of today's broadcast, is you want to let your card know, let your card company know that you'll be traveling overseas so they don't put a hold on it, because that's what happened to me. They thought my card was stolen, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wing, wing, wing. I'm getting these things saying that I'm denied, and it was on my honeymoon, and so they were calling my house where my mom was, and I wasn't answering the phone, and it was all crazy. And so they put a hold on my card, and they weren't allowing me to use my card. So it's kind of a kooky deal. So make sure that you let them know before you travel also. Number four, lending someone your card or card number. This is a total recipe for the disaster. If you give someone your card number, they may be able to make an exorbitant number of purchases. You need to protect your account by refusing to give out your card or card number. Number five, spending more on your card than you have in the bank. Credit card debt is one of the most costly types of debt. It's the reason people face so many huge financial problems, like the top one, because the interest rates are so astronomical. If you have a card, you need to be sure that you have created a financial system in place to limit your spending or monitor your spending. With all the email and text messages that these card companies can do now, you need to set appropriate guides and stick to them. You need to know how to create a healthy spending plan on them. If you don't do it well, you need to address it. And one of the things that works so great is our break the budget key, because last week we learned all about how in that seventh key we can just address all of that stuff, and it goes out the window. You don't even have to deal with credit card debt ever again by creating this healthy savings and spending plan, and we teach you all of the strategies at our website, unlockyourwealth.com. And if you haven't signed up for our key membership, it's our free membership. And remember, free is not a four-letter word. And you have video tutorials and all kinds of access to our strategies, our blog, our money forums. Everything is there for you to get yourself financially well. Okay, number six, giving anyone other than your spouse signing rights on your card. If you get a secondary card for someone, you are liable for all of the charges, good, bad, or indifferent. And if you're married, you're already liable. Otherwise, you're taking serious risk by adding other card members. I know it's about convenience, and you probably just want the babysitter to be able to buy whatever. The only possible exception would be children. And then again, I don't think that that's viable. There are ways that you need to teach your children about money and credit, and it's up to them to get and keep their own credit. And but in the unrealistic event that you actually do that, you must monitor it daily. They will bankrupt you. I have watched family members give their children cards to go to college with, and let me just tell you, they never stick to their budget, and it's always a fight. And I said, cut off the card, and they looked at me like I had five heads. Said, it's not your job. It's their job. They're adults. They can manage their own money. And if they can't, then they need to fall on their face. Experience is the greatest teacher, let me just tell you, because not many of us want to listen to other people and learn from their mistakes. We have to screw up ourselves before we really get it sometimes. Number seven, not calling to ask to reduce your annual percentage rate. If you are trying to get yourself out of an overwhelming amount of credit card debt, you can always call your card issuer and ask for a lower rate. If you've made regular payments and haven't missed one, you're a valued customer. All you need to do is take those fabulous offers you get in your mailbox and say, hey, if you don't, I've got all of these credit cards that are ready and willing to transfer my balances. If you don't, lower my rate. And they don't want you to leave, so they're going to lower your rate. But you got to be prepared to shift if that's the case. You can't just have an idle threat out there. You need to follow it up with action and transfer that balance. Number 8 out of 10, signing up for a card to get a free T-shirt or 10% discount on a $20 shirt. Let me just tell you, because back when I was in college a long, long time ago, they had those little booths set up everywhere. And I know one of our guy friends never, ever bought clothes. He just went and signed up for another credit card, but he needed a new shirt. And before you know it, he had all these credit cards, and he didn't even know what he had, and roommates were using it, and he had his credit destroyed by the time he graduated. And that didn't even include the student loans that he had borrowed. So be wary. It may sound exciting, but again, a T-shirt or 10% off is not necessarily a good incentive if you have fees to pay later on. And number 9, not properly managing your statement of payments. A lot of people get into trouble because they don't look at their statements and they don't have a strategic plan in place for paying their bills. You've got to have a system. Our 5 minutes to financial wellness is unmatched. And if you can't do it in 5 minutes, then you're never going to be able to do it. And we have simplified it and made it as simple as possible. 5 minutes to financial wellness is all you need to manage your money and credit effectively. If you are not in the habit of reviewing your statement, it's likely that you might be making some payments that you know nothing about if you put it on auto pay, or that you're buying stuff or paying for stuff that you simply didn't buy because you're just not watching it closely enough. So mistakes happen. People transpose fingers just like dyslexics can mess up letters when they write. You get those fingers flying and juxtapose a couple numbers, and before you know it, you're paying for somebody else's spa. And last but not least, not taking advantage of credit cards awards. If you have a credit card, you might as well be taking advantage of the rewards programs. There's no such thing as the right card because every card depends on what you're spending and how you're spending. But if your credit card offers a rewards program, take advantage of it. You're losing money and missing out if you don't. And that are the 10 worst credit card mistakes that you could be making. We have so much more coming up on our show. I'm so excited. We've got the Keys to Riches in just a moment. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsors, shall we? I am your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals. And you are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio on our No Seasonal Exceptions Saturday. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had choices. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the Keys to Riches on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I hope you're having a super Saturday listening to this pre-holiday show. And I mentioned before that this is the Save Your Skin Show. I mean, it's not the Save Your Skin Show. It's no seasonal exceptions, but it's saving your skin and mostly the greenbacks in your pocket if that's an issue. And I just want to say thank you so much for Michael being our guest and bringing profit into the kids realm, because it's difficult. It's a true gift when someone can reach a child and explain sophisticated financial concepts that shouldn't be really sophisticated. It should be easy to understand, but can get convoluted because we think that the kids can't understand those concepts or things like that. And so, again, I champion him and Sharon Lecter, co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, for making those commitments to children and financial literacy at an early age. I'm just really excited about that. The Keys to Riches helps us undo all of the garbage that maybe our parents have done to us growing up. One of the things that I have found in money management, both personally and observed through all of my professional clients over the years, is that it's not that we don't know we should spend less than we earn. It's all of the convoluted, mixed money messages that we have had growing up, and then our parents' childhood dramas that were going on that we absorbed from them, and then we have to be expected to function financially in a society where we're told that greed is not good, that money is bad. It's the root of all evil. We have all of these negative connotations of what it is that money is, and so no wonder why we can't keep it once we make it, if we can even make it to begin with, and that's always a challenge. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. And the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit,
reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that each and every week with a new concept, but we give you specific tools to implement those. You have strategies available each and every week on our website that we talk about. The concepts that we talk about on the show, we have this specific strategy available for our key members and always for our premium members after the broadcast. And this week's key is no seasonal exceptions. And the way we got here was first we accepted we had issues with money, whether we had gone out and made mistakes or we just didn't know anything. We're young enough that we haven't had a chance to be out there in the real world and make mistakes. But we are ready to take that responsibility on to manage our own finances and create wealth for our families and for ourselves. And then we also started to affirm that we actually are capable of this. We have the capacity, but we've just been beaten up all these years, again, by these programmings from our childhood, all these dramas that our parents imposed upon us from their childhood dramas, and set all of these preconceived notions that we established our value system with, right, wrong, or indifferent. And that's how we make our financial decisions today, based on these programs. And some of these patterns don't function well for us. If you're chronically impoverished, if you're always in debt, if you never see the light of day financially, or one of those people that every time I get in, something happens. Goodness. Then it has to do with your patterns. And you can only make decisions based on the foundation that you have. It's just like a computer program. It's just like software, if you will. Your computer cannot do things it hasn't been taught to do, and it can't think without information. It can only think and make decisions based on the information put in. So if you've had bad programming, bad input, guess what? Bad output. Like they say, garbage in, garbage out, that's what happens. So we accepted that we had an issue. We've affirmed that we're capable of solving these challenges. Then we decided to take action, and we started making an assessment, an organic assessment, if you will, on not just what we're spending, but when and why. Because that is the key, as we found out last week, the when and why, to solving our financial issues because of the way we spend and react to money. Then we created our dreams with deadlines. We started some goal planning. We learned how to figure out what we knew about money and what we needed to know and who to delegate to if we choose not to become experts in certain areas. Then we learned to take our emotion out of the picture and keep our passions in perspective, be excited about making money and charged up and fired up when it comes to earning it, but being more reserved when it comes to spending it and choosing to save and invest versus just spend and have our dollars work alongside of us. And then we learned how to hope for the best but plan for the worst and know that once we have a plan B in place and we feel like we can't fail, then we can only succeed. We focus on what it is that we truly desire because we're not worrying about these what-ifs. We address the what-ifs so we can focus on the what's right in front of us. And then we broke our budget last week and learned how to forever stop the yo-yo dieting and yo-yo budgeting that we do. And we learned how to create, for the first time in our lives, for many of us, a healthy savings and spending plan. And this week, at a crucial time, we have no seasonal exceptions. One of the biggest hang-ups that we have as a society is the justification of our bad behavior. And we just worked so hard for 7.5 weeks. We just worked our tails off to get to this point. And now we've got Black Friday looming, all right? We have Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is, Ramadan, whatever your holiday is that you will be celebrating this season. We have been bombarded with images commercially that we have to go nuts to recognize this. And that going nuts doesn't go along very well with what we've just done. And mostly because we just don't understand what gift giving is and what it's about. And we justify our bad behavior for breaking our budgets because, oh, it's just the holidays or it's a birthday or a special occasion. And that's not why we do what we do with our money up until this point. And then we just go bananas and we can goof up sometimes what was an incredible savings and spending plan by 1 week moment. And we don't recognize it as a weak moment because we're emotionally engaged. Because remember, we are emotional creatures that buy and react on emotion and justify with logic later. We are not logical creatures. We're biochemical, emotional, driven, instinctually creatures. There's not a whole lot of logic to us. And when we understand that as our foundation and that where we're going from, it makes it so much easier to figure out how do we curtail that activity. And most of it has to do with understanding. Most of us don't even understand the whole gift-giving, gift-receiving thing. A lot of us don't even understand the gift-receiving thing. That's completely foreign to us. Many of us feel like martyrs. And we would be martyrs if we could figure out how to get that last nail in. But we've nailed our feet, and we've strung ourselves up on this cross, and we got one hand in, and then the hand that we need to nail up has the hammer in it. And I can't figure out what, get that hand, maybe there's a loop. How do I figure this out? I can't hammer the hand up with the nail because I don't have another hand to hold it and one to, yeah. How did that happen? And most of us, it's all related to this whole giving and receiving thing. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about internal universal energy. And so many people think, what? What does that have to do? How is that going to help me? At Christmas time, when my kid wants the latest toys, and I'm standing here with a big bag of nothing, and I'm going to talk about universal energy to my kid? No. We have to take a look at and take a step back and break from what we know. And I'll just say this. Jesus got 3 presents for his birthday, and 2 of them were smelly, frankincense and myrrh. Right? Let me think about it. So if you need any justification to not go bananas, think about that. If this holiday is about the spiritual birth of Christ for you and your family, then it shouldn't even be about all the presents. It should be about celebrating his birth. And I'm not saying that that's one way or another because I'm not drawing sides, but I'm saying if that's your holiday, Christmas, and it's your spiritual pursuit, then that's what it needs to be about and not about the stuff that the media tells us that we must have today, 90 days, same as cash, blah, 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 no payments for a year. It needs to be about what it's supposed to be about. But let's go back on it. A lot of people give for the wrong reasons. They're giving because someone else gave them something. They give because they feel obligated. But the only reason you should be giving should be completely selfish. Not self-centered, negative connotation, selfish, out for one's own best interest. Because we're perpetuating our spiritual universal energy economy when we give, okay? And follow me on this concept here. So I need to give you something because it's about me. It's not about you, the recipient. I give you something. I go to the store and I see a little trinket, like my girlfriend just got a brand new baby poodle, and I saw this blinged out poodle keychain. Not a big deal. But I saw that and I thought, that's so cute. I'm going to get that for him. I gave her that, not because she needed another keychain with a bling poodle on it, but every time she sees that, she's going to think about me. She's going to think about, oh, my gosh, my friend Heather recognized my love for my new baby. Every time she sees that key ring, every time she grabs that key ring and the poodle dangles, she's going to look at it and think of her little doggy and remember me. That's why I gave it to her. I didn't give her the key ring because she gave me something, and so I'm kind of like giving her something back. I'm not doing that. It's not an eye for an eye, because that's not what gift giving is about. This is about me and me alone, giving her something that she can go, wow. And my repayment for that gift is, guess what? She doesn't have to go out and run out and buy me a key ring or a coffee mug or something bigger and better. Because this is about me passing on and giving my energy forward. Thank you. That is the universal reciprocation. Two words. Thank you. Or if you're more colloquial, it could be one. Thanks. That's all. That's it. Gift giving is about the giver, not the recipient. It's because you want somebody to have something because it'll make their life easier. And when they use it or see it, it will remind them of you. And that's why we should be giving. But we can't give what we don't have. It's like when we get on the airplane and the flight attendant goes through all of the safety features. And then they talk about if there should be a loss in cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the ceiling. And what do they tell you? Put yours on first before you assist another individual. You cannot truly help others if you have not secured your place first. They illustrate that concept beautifully on the airplane. But for some reason, we don't take that to be part of our everyday life. You probably have heard of the book titled Beware of the Naked Man Who Offers You His Shirt. If you are giving to get something back, you're giving for the wrong reasons. If you are trying to create an obligation on someone else's part, don't give. That's not why you should be giving. Giving has to do with universal laws and exchange of energy. And you've heard of this karma thing, but it's about energy. It's not just about karma or dogma, religiosity. It's about exchanging energy. How do I absorb and radiate more energy? How do I attract more energy? And it starts with an abundance mentality. It can't be this, well, if I give you, then you need to give me back or I won't have enough. No, you get value from the universe every time that you give without expectation. So let me save you some money right now this holiday season. If you are giving because you feel like you want to get something from somebody, don't even give. Don't even go there. Save it. Put the money back in your wallet. Put it in your investment account. Send that money out to go make more money for you. But don't waste your money on gifts for people that you expect something from. That's not why you should be giving. Now, this was something that was kind of difficult for me when I was coming up through the ranks and I was trying to climb that corporate ladder. And I was just a little peon. And there were all of these mucky mucks. And they gave at their level of giving, which clearly was not my level of giving. And so to give you like a car analogy, they're giving at Cadillac, and I'm like down here at the, hybrid, the, little Ford Fiesta. And they were up here at Cadillac, and I'm at Ford Fiesta. Or a smart car. I'm at the smart car level, and they're at the Cadillac level. But I felt like, because I didn't understand these laws of giving and energy, that I needed to give at the Cadillac level because they were Cadillac people. But Cadillac people do not expect smart car people to give at that Cadillac level. Again, the reciprocation is two words. Thank you. Gratitude is what they want. People that give you things are giving because of them. All they're looking for is their gratitude. Now, in this same situation, you got the Cadillac and the smart car. The Cadillac guy tries to give the smart car guy a gift, and the smart car guy, because the smart car guy is thinking in terms of, oh, my gosh, I can't give at the Cadillac level, or I don't want to give at the Cadillac level, so I just won't accept their gift because, well, then I'm obligated to give back. Again, there's no obligation. This is not eye for an eye because of abundance in the world. They're not giving, especially if it's a Cadillac person giving to a smart car person. A Cadillac person does not expect a smart car person to reciprocate in kind. No way on earth. All they're looking for, again, this isn't about you. It isn't about creating obligation. Cadillac guy is trying to create something for himself. He wants to be recognized in some way for his effort, and that's called grace. That's gratitude, and that's your thank you. That's two words. Etiquette says if you open the present in front of them, you don't need to follow up with a handwritten thank you. But I always follow up with a handwritten thank you. And you should always make that your practice too. Especially in this text message electronic mail age, I thought handwritten thank yous would have gone to the wayside and not been as valuable. They'd be more valuable because it takes 2 seconds to wing a text out. But it takes time, effort, and energy to sit down and pen a personal thank you, lick it, seal it, put a stamp on it, and drop it in a mailbox. That requires an inordinate amount of effort compared to the texting. And so people recognize those handwritten thank yous so much more than just a quick little email to say thanks. So take the time, especially if you are feeling some internal anguish about the Cadillac guy and you're the smart car guy. Right now, you're going to be the Cadillac guy soon. But right now, you're at the smart car guy level. And that will give you what you need in the universe because somebody's directing energy towards you. The universe works in great ways. So if you deny that energy to come your way, that gift, and you're not grateful for it, you are stopping the universal flow of energy. Do you want that responsibility hanging over your head? Oh, my God. No, you don't. And for the person at the Cadillac level who is trying to give to you because of a value that they feel like they're going to receive by doing it, and you say no, you're stopping their energy flow. You're stifling their ability. You must be a gracious recipient in order to be a gracious giver. If you just give, 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 and never take, you will never have. Because there's only so many buckets of water you can pull out of the well until you replenish the well and let it rain into your well. You've got to let the rain come to refill your well. If you do not, your well will run dry, and then what? Some of us are already at the dry well. We drop the bucket down, and we're lucky if we get some sand, some mud coming up. Now we got to go to the neighbor's well and borrow some water from them. That's what we're doing with our credit cards. But there are other ways to give to keep universal energy flowing. And when someone is trying to give you something, it's the universe saying it's your time to receive. And if you deny that person the opportunity to continue their flow, and you deny yourself the ability to receive, you're screwing up your universal energy flow too. Not just the other person who's trying to give to you, but you're screwing up yours. I think about, you know, everybody knew that Italian kid down the block who had the mom and the grandma that just cooked all day long. And if you ever went over to their house, they always fed you. And that was the thing, manja, manja. And if you did not have that bowl of spaghetti, even if you only took like 2 bites, but if you denied it, no, I can't have another cannoli. If you denied it, they were like so upset. They felt like they couldn't connect to you. It distanced them from you. And I remember my friend told me, don't do that again. My grandma was so upset. I'm like, what do you mean? I just wasn't hungry. And they're like, it doesn't matter. Like you like hit them upside the head with a 2x4 when you do that. And they're not giving to feed you. It's not about you. It's about them. And you need to become a gracious recipient, but you need to give appropriately. And when you give appropriately, according to your ability at the time, not what you think it's going to be in 2 years when that deal closes and I'll have all this money, so I'll just charge it now, and then we jinx the deal and it never closes and we're stuck with all the debt. But if we give appropriately, we will raise our energetic, universal, life-giving force and vibration. Which, what does that do? That draws more to us. It's amazing. It's so amazing how that works. But people get it so backwards. So they're like, no, I'm not going to give anything, or I'm not going to take anything, so I don't have to give anything. Because they think it's a tit-for-tat thing. And it doesn't work that way. The universe isn't set up to flow in that way. And this is on a basic level of energy. Doesn't it feel great when you walk up to somebody and you haven't seen them in a while and they give you a grand hug, a two-arm big bear, squeeze you, lift you off your feet, jump with you in the air a couple times kind of hug, and you're like, oh, my God, you just feel so open and so warm and so happy. Contrast that with when you walk up to someone that you haven't seen in a while and you're thinking about, oh, I want this big hug from this person. But they kind of like extend their hand, or they don't even do that. They just kind of like, oh, hey. And you're like, ooh, weird, awkward. What do I do? Do I go in for the hug? Do I give the hug? Or do I wait for the hug to come to me? I just don't know. We get conflicted with this whole giving and receiving thing, and we just don't know what to do. But we must receive, and we must allow ourselves to receive in order to continue to give, because some people give at exhaustive levels. I see many marriages go south because one of the partners in the marriage is giving too much, is doing too much for the kids and the community and the church and their charity, and then they forget to give to the most important person or receive from that person, and that's their spouse. And they hang themselves out like a martyr. Oh, I do all of this for you. But they're not. They're doing it for themselves. People give to satisfy themselves. They may say it's for you, but it's about them. It's not about you. It's about them. That's why people give. So you want to allow the universal flow of energy to occur. Oh, wait a minute. Crap. I'm going to make an exception. And I know it's no seasonal exceptions, but I'm going to make an exception. If you are a female or a male, and the opposite sex is trying to woo you or create a sense of obligation because they're giving for the wrong reasons, and you are not interested in that person, you cannot play games. You must be forthright and honest. It is a crime, seriously. a crime to allow someone to believe that you're interested in them when you're not. There's no letting them down easy. There's no, oh, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Well, if somebody lies to you, doesn't that hurt your feelings? And essentially, by not telling them the truth, it's kind of like a lie. So there's the exception. If someone is making unwanted advances to you, you clearly want to shut them down. Thank you very much, but be very forthright and honest. Forgive me, but I'm unable to accept your gift. I'm not interested in pursuing a relationship other than the platonic one we currently have. Thank you for your interest, but I am not interested in the same way. You got to be honest, and it's okay. Use the rules of etiquette. The rules of etiquette are here to defend your actions in this gift-giving and gift-receiving department. So we got to focus on that. And we've got to really pay attention to how we're doing that. So we are going to take a real quick break, listen to our sponsors, and then we're going to be back with some specific strategies to help you get through the seasonal exceptions that we always try to make and stop justifying our bad behavior. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your money mentor, your hostess with the financial gnosis. And right now, we're talking about no seasonal exceptions. So am I stimulating some thought on your part about giving and receiving and going nuts and going beyond our financial capability? Because we justify, we use justification to make it okay in our minds. We figure if we tell ourselves, well, it's just little Susie's birthday or it's Johnny's first Christmas, whatever your excuse is, that's all it is an excuse. And all we're trying to do when we make these excuses is to make our bad behavior okay in some way. And if we can justify it, well, that's all we needed. Turn a want into a need so quick through justification. And, you know, it's like, really? I mean, think about this from a purely self-centered point of view. You give to all these people for all this stuff, and you go nuts every time. You go into debt to make people feel obligated to you. And what happens when they don't? What did you really get out of that? Like, if it's tit for tat. You know, a former employee of mine had a friend that she would always try to buy whenever they would go out. And it's not like she had any more money than anybody else, but she'd always try to buy to create this sense of obligation. And so then, you know, like, they'd all go out. And then she'd like, well, is somebody going to pick me up? I got you last time. And she'd be like, yeah, but I didn't ask you to. And I'm not getting you this time. I said thanks. So that person was giving for the wrong reason. And they didn't get what they thought that they were creating this obligation for. Because she was obviously surrounded by healthy people, not other dysfunctional people or financially dysfunctional people. So we've got to take, and we've got to think about what's right for us. And we can't give to create obligation in others, because that's wrong. And if people are giving to you to create a sense of obligation back to them, you need to evaluate how valuable that person is in your life. Because, again, if you're at the smart car level right now in your finances and someone else is at the Cadillac level, that Cadillac level person is not ever, because they wouldn't be at that Cadillac level, if they're truly there, not because they finance their way there, but through true wealth, I guess I should qualify that statement. If they're at the Cadillac level successfully on their own, they will never expect you to give something back to them, especially at the level that they can give at. They just wouldn't do that. Because, again, it's not about reciprocation. It's about gratitude. All they want is to be recognized for the value that they just brought into your life. And a simple thank you does that. So we're going to take an inventory, and we're going to look at who it is we want to give this year and why and for what. You know, because it's not just about the holidays, but Black Friday is upon us, and the holidays are coming. But this has to do with any special occasion or seasonal event. You know, birthdays occur on the same day every year. Christmas occurs on the same day every year. Hanukkah floats based on a lunar calendar. So, all right, but it's still in the same, like, time of year, all right? You still have 11 months to prepare for it, even though you don't have a specific day. So you're telling me, or this is like some of the issues I have, that you didn't have 11 months to figure it out? You didn't have 17 or 18 years to prepare for this child's high school graduation that all of a sudden you have to break the bank today? Come on. You're not fooling me. And I'm pretty sure that you're not fooling yourself either, because that's the only reason why you're running that line of garbage, is to try to convince yourself of something you know isn't true. If you're not prepared, you're not prepared. And not being prepared is okay. You know, as we go through life, catastrophic events beset us. I had one this morning. My car, I couldn't even, the security system on this car, and I swear, I think Fred Flintstone had the deal with his People Power car, it shut it down that I couldn't even manually open it. Like, the security system, the battery is so dead or whatever went on, but the key wouldn't even unlock my door. I couldn't even get in the car to get my drink coupon out. That's really why I wanted in the car. I'm like, but at least can I get my drink coupon before I go do the show? But I couldn't even get in the car. So you know what? That's going to cost me some bucks to get that thing fixed. New battery, whatever. Maybe something shorted out in the electrical system. I might have left my cell phone charger in the lighter. Who knows? So things happen to us. For a while there, I thought Murphy and his, whatever could go wrong, does, was a member of my immediate family. And people understand that. Life happens. And if you're not prepared, it doesn't mean don't recognize someone. You can give to someone without a financial cost attached to it, or at least not an exorbitant one. You can go online and design a great holiday email. There's so many websites. I just did this fun thing on one of the pet store websites where you put your dog's face on there and it sends out a little Christmas card to everybody. That was free. It only took my time to do that. So as you make this short list of people that you feel you want to give to, for the sake of giving to them, recognizing their value in their life, looking only for the gratitude of them saying, thank you for acknowledging me. And you can do a variety of very low or no-cost things. You know, low-cost things, Christmas cards with an updated photo of your family. My former sister-in-law used to send out these newsletters every year to tell us what happened in their lives. Trips that they took, things that happened with the kids, all of that good stuff. That's what people want to know. They just want to feel connected. And that's what giving is all about. It's about connection. And you don't have to give materially, especially at the cost of your own financial future, just to recognize another human being and add value and pull them in. One of the most priceless things I have is my time. I cannot put a quantitative value on my time. I can tell you what I'm worth when I'm working. I can tell you how much I make an hour when I'm working. And I can delegate tasks to other people to make sure things happen because my value to an hour is worth more than whatever this, you know, filing task or whatever, stapling this, doing that. But when it comes to my personal time and what I do on my personal time, there is no price. It's priceless. So if I take the time to bake some cookies or a pie and I give you those, that's worth more than any bag of gold anybody could ever give you. Because to me, my time is priceless. And if I'm going to invest that kind of time, it better be somebody I care about. I'm not cooking for the man down the street. Because my time is priceless. How do you feel about your time? An investment of your time could be a bigger investment than an investment of money. And people recognize that. My husband always gets my goat, and he always fires me up and tries to get me super upset every year at Thanksgiving. It's the one holiday that I cook. I don't really like Christmas because it's too commercial. And there's too many other things. It's not just Christmas. It's this, that, and the other, and there's all these different things associated with it, but there's always like this string attached. But I love Thanksgiving because it's just about the food and the connection to family. And every year I roast my own pumpkins and I make my own pumpkin pie fresh from scratch. And every year he tells me to go buy a pie, or he tries to get me riled up and tell me how Marie Callender's does it so much better and blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you that everybody that eats at my table comes there for that pumpkin pie, because there is no place on earth that you can get pumpkin pie like that. It can't come out of a can, and it certainly can't come out of Marie Crap Allender's bakery. I'm sorry. But every year, you know, I mean, that's my thing. That's and you know what? And it's not about the people that are eating it. It's about me. It's about them telling me how fabulous my pie is. I bake this pie to give to these people so they can tell me how great it is. That's it. That's all I want. It's just gratitude for my effort. I get gratitude for my effort broadcasting the show when you say, oh, my gosh, you helped me in my life. That makes me feel good, like I'm bringing value, and you recognize my value. We got great chatters in the chat room today. Kristen's been Skyping me saying, oh, this person said this and that about the show and blah, blah, blah. This is what it's about. So, real quick, our nuts and bolts for this week's key. Our key affirmation is, I am a gracious giver and even more gracious recipient. And this week's key action item is to sit back and think about when giving gifts or remembering someone special to commemorate that occasion. Start with a card and a personal acknowledgement. And then determine if it requires a greater financial investment. Because remember, people just want to be recognized. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thanks so much to our fabulous guest, Michael Malgiri. Remember to visit the website at unlockyourwealth.com for this week's strategy that teaches you how to plan for giving for special occasions. I hope you all have a fabulous Thanksgiving. Be sure to join us on our Tuesday show, Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go, 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Get your millionaire focus strategy so you can start your day the millionaire way. Thanks again to all my guests. Thanks to Kristen for manning the chat room and the phone lines. And thanks to you for tuning in. Finally, financial freedom can be yours. Here's to your financial independence at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhals. And you make it a great day.